of my heart without a doubt. Then the neon sign of our love went out.
My lips talk your name, my heart begs for more. Then my arms hold you back, baby, for another encore.
But for party, Lord and man, I finally got my baby back again. But for party, Lord and man,
I got you in my arms
again.
You took my world on the Ferris wheel ride. I start falling and you stepped aside. My eyes search for you, baby, on the stage of life I can see. You turn the lights back on.
Jean Cherie and Linda of the Supremes with the Originals from 1990 with a track called Back by Popular Demand, written by Freddie Gorman and Jenny Bradford, released on Ian Levine's Motor City label. And so, on the line from sunny California, Jenny Bradford, Motown songwriter for 25 years. Jenny, welcome to England.
Well, welcome to you and welcome to Beverly Hills.
Thank you very much. So, I mean, I said Motown songwriter. You were with Motown for 25 years, all the way.
With Motown from day one.
Yeah, fantastic. I mean, how did that all start? No, start off with how did it start for you as a songwriter?
Well, for me, it started through my sister, who was also a singer, local singer there, and she and Jackie Wilson worked together a lot.
Wow.
So when he got out his hit record, Repetite, he came and invited her to see down to see his show and hear him sing his hit record.
Mm-hmm.
And I begged, he was a friend of ours, so I begged him, could I go? He said, no, you're too young. But I was tall as I am now. I'm 5'8½", and I was just that tall at 14. So I said, well, I can put on some of my sister's clothes and look older. And I kept on until he finally relented, because I wanted to meet this songwriter. In my mind, the songwriter was the celebrity. Jackie wasn't a celebrity because we knew him. You know how that goes. Somebody, they're just part of the game. And we got there, and I met Mr. Gordy, and he was just a normal man. But at 14, I don't know what I thought a songwriter or a celebrity should look like. So I was kind of disappointed, and I told him, well, if you can write songs, I can write songs better than you can any day. But only a brash kid would do something like that. So he really came by my house later to listen to some of my songs, which I had none because I'd never written songs. But I was always a portrait writer for the school board. I'd hang my poetry all over the school board.
Uh-huh.
And I had a notebook full of lyrics. Well, they were words at that time. I didn't even know the term lyrics. And I went and got them. I said, here are my words. So to make a long story short, in a couple of months, he turned my words into songs into Jackie Wilson's Lonely Teardrop album. So that's how all that got started, pre-Motown.
Fantastic. Because you wrote two songs for Jackie Wilson, didn't you, on that LP?
Yeah.
Beautiful. What was he like?
Pardon?
What was Jackie Wilson like?
Jackie Wilson was a lovely, crazy person. He was a Gemini like me. So.
Right.
But he was a beautiful person.
Lovely, lovely. So what were your earliest influences then yourself? I mean, did you, I suppose, gospel, but were you allowed to listen to mainstream music?
No, we weren't allowed to, but we did when my parents would leave home. One of the kids would stand by the door, look to the lookout person for them, and then we would turn on whatever music we wanted to listen to and blast it till somebody said, hey, they're coming back. And then we change it.
Great stuff.
To Patti Page and Bing Crosby, as my father called them.
Brilliant. So you've told me that you introduced yourself to Berry Gordy and made such an impression on him that he came to look at your writings. And you turned up trumps, didn't you? Money. That must be one of the biggest tracks that Motown ever produced.
If you recall, at that time, the beginning didn't have to make such big impression because he wasn't the Berry Gordy he is now.
Uh-huh.
So he was just looking for some songs. So it was an easy sell at that time. Came along at the right time.
Great. Because am I right in thinking you didn't actually start as a songwriter? He took you on as a secretary?
No. I started as a songwriter.
Fantastic.
That's how when it formed. But once we started, the company was small, and like any company beginning, you do whatever you have to do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So nobody was at the desk. I sat there and answered the phone and wrote songs.
Great stuff. And I say, mm-hmm. Money has been covered over 200 times. That's got to be a testament to the quality of the track. I mean, the Beatles did it, and the Rolling Stones did it, and, well...
And everybody did
everybody
it.
Everybody did
go
it.
On and on and on with the names I've forgotten. And even I was sent a track, the Undisputed Truth.
Oh, right, yeah.
The guy that had, they just did it. He's doing news music, and he's done Money.
Lovely. Okay, let's have a listen to that then. From 1959, written in partnership with Berry Gordy, here's Money.
We'll be right back.
Lovely. So, I mean, you were in at Motown from the very start, as you say, and that must have been an exciting time because you're also credited for naming the band The Supremes. When they changed the name from The Primettes, you came up with that?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So, of all the songwriters, you were with Motown for 25 years as a songwriter, you must have written with some big names, some lovely people. Barry
Gordy,
you've
mentioned. They're big now, but they were just people hanging, songwriters hanging around trying to make it at that time. So, yeah, I wrote just about with, you name them, I wrote with them. I never liked to team up like a lot of them did at Motown. I would like to be free to write with whomever.
Right.
And basically that's what happened except for Popcorn.
Oh,
Richard
right.
Wallace.
Yes, yes.
Have you heard of him?
Yes, of course.
I teamed up with Popcorn for a while.
Ah, well, I think...
And we did some production and writing for Debbie Dean and a lot of the new artists at that time that never made it. You probably wouldn't even recognize their name.
Right. Because when you were writing with Richard Popcorn Wiley, you actually wrote under a pseudonym, didn't you? Janie Finney?
No, I did not. I might have one or two, but no. For Motown, I always wrote under Janie Bradford.
Oh, right. Right, okay. Mm-hmm. My mistake then. Right, so of the people that you wrote with, I mean, Berry Gordy, Barrett Strong, you say these people at the time were not known names, but nowadays, especially in England,
they're household names. They are very important names.
Yeah, yeah. Barrett mm-hmm. Strong, Brian Holland, Norman Whitfield, Lamont Dozier, Smokey Robinson.
Smokey, right. I wrote with all of them.
Fantastic. And did you find some easier to write with than others? Did you just click with some people?
I think Smokey, to me, was the easiest to write with.
Yeah.
He sometimes, he would put his own flavor in there. And I love the way he worked and the way he made you work and come up with a better lyric and the whole thing. I think I enjoyed writing with Smokey more. Well, I don't want to say that. I enjoyed writing with
of them, but
he was easier for me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, sometimes mm-hmm. people just click. I mean, I've worked with lots uh-huh. of people, and the job gets done, but sometimes there's just a magic there, and it sort of helps to get to the end product. So, I mean, do you prefer to write solo or as part of a team?
Yeah, I preferred the freedom of writing with whomever needed a hit or whoever they were working with at the time.
Yeah, and I mean, when you say whoever needed a hit, does that mean that you wrote with a particular group in mind? Like if Barry came along and said, I need a Supremes record or Marv Johnson?
Well, oftentimes that did happen. They were working on somebody's album and you needed a few more songs for that album or whatever was going on at the time.
Yeah, because, I mean, you wrote some big songs for Motown. I mean, Marvin Gaye, Too Busy Thinking About My Baby. That's another track that's been covered so many times. Great record.
That was with Norman Whitfield.
Mm, and it gets a regular play on Radio Newark as well. It's one of the favourites. So that's good. There'll be some royalties along in the post shortly, I'm sure. You also wrote for Marv Johnson, Gonna Give Her All the Love I Got. Of course, that was covered to great effect by Jimmy Ruffin.
Early on, that was the very beginning.
Yeah.
I wrote with Marv, for Marv.
Yeah, great. When you say you wrote for people, sometimes you wrote a song for someone in mind, which group stands out? I mean, they were all good. Motown had got its own trademark sound, but... which group for you really makes you tingle?
The one that really makes me tingle is the one that died. We didn't get a single on the Four Tops.
Yeah.
But we got one called My Past Just Crossed My Future and one of their latest albums, and it was, I thought it was just really hot.
Yeah.
That it never happened, but... I love working with the Tops.
Well, I mean, Levi Stubbs got vocals to die for, hasn't he? Bless him. He puts mm-hmm. his heart and soul into pushing that song out. Great, great mm-hmm. stuff. And that's probably what made him so popular, because you can feel the passion coming through, as you can in soul music as a genre. I mean, it's sung from the heart rather than from the throat, isn't it? It's something that you feel rather than hear.
Yeah.
And speaking of the Four Tops, here from their 1969 LP called Four Tops Now, it's another one of your tracks. This is My Past Just Crossed My Future.
My past just crossed my future. My past just crossed my future. Spend my childhood in a home for
his joy. Now with the wife and the son, my whole world is changed, and my life rearranged. But beyond ending tears, my folks told my son, made him out of life the wrong I had done. Now my mind's exploded from my past reflections as I watched him follow in that same direction.
Don't even know. turn the right, and there I'll be.
I'll be there
to lighten your load. If I can bring you joy for only a minute,
I'll be there.
Got more love than one heart can hold. Call on me if your life needs some love in it.
Jones there with a Janie Bradford pen track, Share My Love. So your Motown career carried on through the 70s, and you were writing for Gloria Jones, as we just heard, Smokey Robinson, the Supremes.
Yeah, Gloria Jones, we worked together once the company transitioned to California.
Uh-huh.
That's when I teamed up with Gloria and wrote a few songs with her.
Oh.
Better Man Than You for Sister's Love, and a couple of more songs.
Share My Love, that was the title track of her LP.
Yeah, Share My Love, and then it's another one that all these country artists cut. I can't remember now. I'm getting old.
I'm not big on country and western, I'm afraid.
I can't remember all those songs. Only I have to look for them on the royalty statements.
Yeah, of course. So you mentioned the West Coast office. Is that what took you from Motown across to the West Coast, because you're now living in California,
yeah,
don't you?
Well, over half of the company moved to L.A. when the company moved, followed the company. But when they said we were going to L.A., that was right up my alley, because every year when I took a vacation or through the year, I went to California, to Los Angeles.
Right.
And when they were actually moving there, I said, oh, just one long vacation, I'm gone. So I loved the move.
Great stuff. I mean, and the Moest label, how did that differ from being in Detroit with the traditional Motown sound? Because the Moest was sort of like a move away from that, wasn't it? It encompassed a bit of folk music. I know the music probably moved with the time.
Yeah, and then we came up with the jazz. Several different labels came up out here. But the whole move itself was different, because Detroit was the beginning.
Yeah.
And the beginning where everybody knows everybody and the whole thing. But once we got to L.A., it was big business, big buildings. You're one segment of the company's on one floor, one's on the other. And sometimes you never visit the other floor. You don't even know who's up there working there, nor their names, so.
Yeah, I mean, that must be, something must have been lost there, because it's nice to work as a small team. When you were at Motown in Detroit, then you were sort of like contained in one house, weren't you, and everybody was coming in. It must have
been
really
bustling. And it was fun.
It was
fun, you know. It was truly a family. It wasn't just a word family.
Yeah.
And it still is for the ones that's still here.
Yeah.
We still hang together. We still go out together.
Great.
They still come over to my house. I'm the cook. And holidays, you know, we crammed all in and just enjoying each other. We still do that.
And I'm going to say, because when corporations get involved, they sort of suck all the fun out of it, don't they? So it must have been quite a culture shock. You moved to California to open the Moest operation in 1971. And while you were there, you wrote this for The Topics, a great track, getting lots of plays on the rare and crossover scene. This from 1972 is Try a Little Love. Relocating then in Beverly Hills in California, you diversified a little bit as well as songwriting. You found your own record label, or at least Mountain Goat Music.
Marilyn McLeod, who was also a songwriter at Motown and a singer, and Alice Coltrane's sister, John Coltrane's sister-in-law, and all that kind of good stuff. She sings, and so we were writing some things for her recently. And so we said, well, hey, there's no more real big label, so let's just do our own label and put this out on you and see where it goes. So it was really just a vehicle to carry her album. Sure. It wasn't like a public label to get out there and actually work a label for other people's songs.
But that must have been hard work to be to have a small label, because you've not got the marketing push to be able to get your artist out.
Well, no. I mean, having grown up in the industry, you knew a lot of the ins and outs.
Yeah, you got your contacts. Yeah.
It wasn't, like, really, really hard, no. And she did all the work of calling the stations and getting, the song there placed with the DJs and all that stuff.
Great stuff. And also, you were... tell me about the Heroes and Legends Scholarship Fund.
Well, again, that was born at Motown. I sat next door to the guy who would listen to the kids' songs and decide whether he would take them in or not into the publishing. And a lot of times I would hear through the wall, and he would turn some of the children down, and I would say, well, that song could have been saved if he would say, well, you need to start off with the chorus to catch them first, or you need to put the title in there a little more to give it an identity, or you need to change the melody. And I just went on and on of the things that could have happened. I said, well, when I get a chance, I'm going to help these kids. And being a Gemini, the other mind stepped in and said, well, when you get a chance, when was that going to be? You just got to start helping them. So I did. I just started that very year. And then being from Motown, the Mary Wilson one was my first honoree, mm-hmm. and I used the people that I knew to draw other people in, you know, to buy tickets and ads and monies and stuff for the scholarship. So from day one, we just kept rolling. And the magazine, like you say, that I created, it sponsors the Heroes and Legends event, which we call the Hal Awards.
Yeah, and that's the Entertainment Connection magazine, isn't it?
Yes, uh-huh.
Great, and that's promoting new music?
Yes.
Good stuff. Because this this scholarship fund, the Heroes and Legends Awards, how long has that been going?
Oh, this is the 29th year, and it's we award children in the arts, any form of the arts. That's what we give scholarships for.
Crikey.
You could be a dress designer, you could be behind the camera in movies, you could be a singer, dance, as long as it's a form of the arts.
Lovely, lovely. Well, I mean, mm-hmm. the thing is that these young artists and people, the whether it be music or designing or whatever, they need all the help they can get, don't they? Because it's a tough nut to crack.
It is. It's another whole world. You know, when a lot of them come to me now, some of them I have to turn away because I have to tell them I really don't know what's going on out there anymore. You know, you have to be versed and keep up with this. Every time you turn around, there's so many different angles that they use to carry their music to the public.
It's
a different ball game.
That's right. And talking of awards, you've been honored yourself several times, haven't you? Broadcast Music Incorporated, BMI, they gave you a certificate of achievement.
Yeah.
Fantastic. What an accolade. Great. And that was in particular for Money and Too Busy Thinking About My Baby. Quite right, too.
Yeah, for those two.
And you've also been presented with the Vivian Carter Award for Contributions to Music. Now, I mean, she was the co-founder of VJ Records and a radio personality.
Oh, yeah.
Lovely.
That was exciting. I think we went down to Orlando, Florida for
okay.
that. Jack the Rapper, when he had out a little paper, he was over that event.
Lovely, lovely. And you've also been honoured by the city of Los Angeles.
Yes, yes.
Great, high praise indeed.
How that came about, I don't know. I just went down and got the award.
Excellent, well deserved too, well deserved. We played Money, That's What I Want, earlier in the interview, and I just want to play the second of those two tracks that earned you recognition from the BMI. This from 1969 is Marvin Gaye with Too Busy Thinking About My Baby.
Makes up.
So, how do you occupy your time now? I mean, I know you've got your magazine and you're organising the Heroes and Legends Scholarship Fund. Are you? What else do you do? Do you do things for pleasure? Are you still writing?
I write on occasion, but not like I did when I was with Motown. Actually, your songs had somewhere to go.
Yeah.
Now, just about all the writers, artists or writers, or they are rappers. Which I cannot write rap.
Oh, no.
My grandson is always asking me to help him write a rap song. I said, baby, I can't even speak that language. I can't help you do that. But, sometime I get an idea and it just won't leave me alone and I have to put it down. Still try to stay in the vein of good songs because good songs can always be arranged in whatever vein is happening at that time.
Yeah.
So
they do stand the test of time, don't they? Quality shines through. I mean, I was going to ask you, what are your inspirations for, how do you go about writing a song? Do you an idea just comes to you and you go with it? Or do you set out to write a particular theme or a story?
No. Usually, you know, creatively, somebody can even be talking and I say, oh, that's a title and you go with it. Or just it can come to you in any means, you know, if the creativity is there.
Yeah.
It's very seldom that you say, okay, I'm going to write a song and just come up with something. It's something going on at the time in your life or before you that you say, oh, that's a song, so you go with it from there.
Yeah, I mean, really, it must be like bearing your soul. I'm not a songwriter myself, but far from it. It must be like bearing your soul because you're giving an insight to the world on your thoughts at the time.
Sometimes it is. It is.
Mm. So, do you do the melodies as well? Are you a musician?
No, I'm not a musician, but I have on occasion done the complete songs, a melody. But usually, I do the lyric.
Excellent, lovely. Have you got any new music tucked away somewhere that perhaps you've not got published yet?
Well, I have somebody working on a new tune right as we speak.
Oh, excellent.
They did a song of mine a couple of years ago, and they're recording some more, so they are doing another completely new tune.
Lovely. So we can look forward to hearing that, after Christmas, do you think?
I would hope so.
Excellent, excellent. Well, when it comes out, please let me know, push it across, and if I can play it, then I definitely will. Look forward to hearing that.
I will definitely let you know.
Janie, thank you so much for giving me this interview, and I wish you well in your future ventures, and I look forward to talking to you soon. Thank you.
You're so welcome, Matt. Thank you for calling.
So, I just want to play you out now with a song you wrote in conjunction with Smokey Robinson for his 1978 album Love Breeze. This was a single release called Why You Wanna See My Bad Side.
Why you want to see my bad side, baby, baby? Don't you know you drive me crazy? Oh yeah, it's true for you. Why don't you just let me love you the way I want to? I just want to kiss and hug you. Oh yeah, it's true for you. Got to see you to me. Nothing and getting mad. Well,
Love you the way I want to. I just want to kiss and hug you.